So this is it. This is the last book of Matt Wallace's Sin du Jour series. Taste of Wrath is years in the making. I mean, longer than we probably even know. This is a novella from Tor.com's publishing arm, and I love it. And I'm making this audio post, which is complimentary with my actual review, because I want to talk about how much I love the entire series. Matt is one of my favorite authors. He's incredibly inspirational, as in, he is seriously hashtag writer goals. I think before I started reading his work, I kept getting bogged down and stressed out because I love writing in present tense. Third person present tense is the best tense for me. But a lot of people get really snotty about writing, and I would, all I'm following all these big writers. And they're writing great fantasy, but they're not really writing accessible fantasy as a reader or as a writer aspiring to be like them. And then Matt shows up and he uses present tense out the ass, and he's really great at it. And I'm like, I want to write like this. And his characters are amazing. I talk about it in my review for A Taste of Wrath that this book kind of feels like Cheers. I think that the thing that people liked about Cheers, the sitcom, is that it felt like you were sitting down with these people, that you were sitting down with your friends at the bar. And that's what the Sin du Jour series feels like. These are my bros. It's been two, almost 3 years for me, because I bought the first book, Envy of Angels, right around my 25th birthday, and we are 20 days out from my 28th birthday. So 3 years-ish of me being super invested in the series, and in reading it, I've come to identify with some characters. My feelings on some characters have changed. I started out the series hating Chef Bronco Lux, like a sous chef, Dorsky. Hated him. He was a dick to Lena. He was a dick to Darren. He is just a dick, right? That was my first impression. It took me ages, especially when he kind of quote unquote got in the way of my OTP, which was Lena and Ritter. But Matt managed to get me to be like, oh, I like him, begrudgingly. He grew on me, especially because the way he is with Nikki, and it's not like Nikki is trying to change him. It's just like he's just not a dick with Nikki, and I like it. And I mean, I would love to see more Sin du Jour stories in general, because this is just one of the best urban fantasy series ever. Because it's funny, it's a comedic series. I mean, I laughed, but Matt's really good at developing this really great tense. Okay, there are things that he's developed across the series that you get your fulfillment in this book, and you're just like, okay, so that reference in the first book, okay. He ties up loose ends. He's very good at really satisfying character arcs. He's really good at turning you inside out over these characters. If you haven't read Taste of Wrath, I'm not going to give any spoilers aside from the fact that many characters you like do not end the series the same way they started. Some literally just change, they fundamentally change. Others die or died in the previous book. There's so much character growth. Oh my gosh. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's that. It's Matt's writing. His writing is very cinematic. I can read the series and visualize these characters. Except I, by the way, have pictured Ritter as being not white for most of my read of the series. And eventually I was like, wait, I don't think he's a character of color. Because I was going for like Vin Diesel, who's not white, meets The Rock, who's also not white. I'm probably wrong about that. No, wrong in that that's not what Matt was picturing, which doesn't mean like there's not an alternate universe somewhere where Ritter is Vin Diesel and The Rock love child. You know? But like, I can picture like the fight scenes, the action scenes are out of this world, really intense drama. Like, when the series had audiobooks, the first three books had audiobooks by Corey Gagnier. I don't remember because I do not have my Kindle to look at that right now. But hearing him narrate the series, gave extra life to what was already a very vivid series. That's why I cannot listen to the third audiobook while I'm going to sleep because I'll have nightmares. Because that third audiobook, the third book, is set in hell, sort of, kind of, and it's fucked up. And that's the other thing, about Matt's work that I really like, that he's writing content that is uncomfortable, but not in the way that like it's not dude bro uncomfortable. It is, wow, this shouldn't be happening. And as you think that, the characters are also going, this should not be happening. I would like to leave. So you're on the same level with these characters. You're feeling their fear. You're feeling their, oh shit, this is fucked up kind of situation. And, in Gluttony Bay, which has this, okay, Gluttony Bay messed me up. I read Gluttony Bay at the height of my cannibalism and fiction phase, which is ongoing, but Tokyo Ghoul refinished, so I don't really have anything else to occupy my time with, and I'm still waiting for the next Rupert Wong book from Cassandra Kaw, so we'll see how that picks up. But spoilers for Gluttony Bay, people are being served up to demons. So it's not technically cannibalism. So I guess I don't have a thing about cannibalism. I have a thing about people getting eaten. And I've confessed to that. So now I can never commit any crime of that nature because you will all immediately know it's me. Obviously. Not that I was planning to. But I remember reading Gluttony Bay. And I think that was my last semester of grad school where I had in-person classes that I had to go to. So I would be in the English department all day. And like, I'm reading this book in the English department and I keep flagging people down to go, okay, you need to hear this. You need me to read this to you. And I would actually spoil the book for them because it's been 2 years. I've been doing this for 2 years going, hey, people in the English department, read this awesome series. And they haven't. So I'm gonna spoil it for them. And so I'd be there and just be like, so here's the thing. And I just read them this really fucked up, but like really deliciously written line. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's messed up. And I was like, I know, you guys need to read it. It's so good. And that's how I recommended Envy of Angels. Envy of Angels has a really kind of gross origin of this one company, Chicken Nuggets. And I'm to this day, I remember because it was when I was with my sister and we like lived in an actual house instead of like a dank tiny apartment ages ago. And I was sharing a room with Tiny T and she's like, Auntie, why are you like laughing like that? And I was like, okay, memes, hear me out and don't think I'm weird. And I spoiled the ending of Envy of Angels for her because at the time she was like 8. So like, what is she gonna do? Read it? Right? But I'm gonna make her read it, don't worry. Because she's 12 now. She's and then I go, I am grossed out. I am actually kind of disgusted, but I want some motherfucking chicken nuggets right now. And yes, I said that to my niece, who at this point is like very used to profanity, and all she did was like roll her eyes and she's like, you're gross, you know? And it's true, I'm gross. But I love like messed up books that are like lightly casually, comedically fucked up. You know, Matt's one of my favorite writers because he walks the balance. You know, his tension is never too tense. He's not a grimdark dude in the Cindy Jour series. Even when shit hits the fan, you're not getting splattered by it as the reader. You know, you're experiencing it, but you're still not like, and you're overwhelmed by it. Because again, I cried, I wailed my way through Taste of Wrath. I feel like I made a video, I'm not even sure because my memory is shot, but that book messed me up. And I was still left wanting more. There's some series I've read, some urban fantasy series I've read that messed me up, and then I never wanted to continue. Patricia Briggs, her main urban fantasy series had a really triggering, really messed up scene in one of the middle books in the series, and I stopped reading it. You know, there was nothing that I could find redemptive, meditative, any of that in that book, and it ruined the series for me. You know, meanwhile, I pick up a Cindy Jour book, and I'm like, wow, that's super messed up. This is upsetting. And I go on to the next book. You know, there are some authors that can just do that, where you're reading them and you're like, oh my gosh, how is this getting worse? How is this getting worse? And you just keep going. And there's some books where you hit a wall, you know. And I just really want to talk about just how proud I am of Matt. And he's one of a few authors that I literally feel comfortable just talking about. Like, hey, Matt, it's my friend, Matt, you know. And of course, I know there's that divide between author and reader. But Matt, so I'm not like BFFs with him, but I could be, you know, like. He's been incredibly kind over the years of me reading the Cindy Jour series. And, like, I tag him in my reviews. Because I know that even if I was like, this shit is whack, I don't like it, he'd still be like, yeah, you're right, this shit is whack. You know, like, he wouldn't just stop seeing me as a person if I somehow managed to dislike a book that he wrote. You know? And he's always had my corner. And I want to have he's always been in my corner. So I want to, you know, have his back be in his corner too. He is an incredible creator. He has a brilliant mind. He is writing what I want much of the urban fantasy genre to be like. His attitude towards creating is incredible. He is someone that I genuinely aspire to be like as a writer and just as a nerd on the internet. You know, he's cool and he's humble. He's just constantly working. He's doing all of this shit. You know, he has beautiful wife, who's also named Nikki. So, yeah, he's so great. And I think he's a great person, and then he's a great creator who always has really innovative, really interesting ideas. And his work in the Cindy Jour series was super timely. So Lust Locked, book two, came out right around the time David Bowie passed away. And so I had an arc of the book, I think. I'm not sure, because again, I don't feel like finding my Kindle right now, but I'm reading the book and they bring up the Goblin King, right? And I'm a little slow because I was never into David Bowie as a kid. I wasn't really super secular in terms of music. It's heck a Christian as a small child, and then didn't really get into him as an adult. So it took me a while, but I was like, wait a minute, is this who I think it is? And it just felt like such a great send-off, you know? And there's more of the same. And so actually it's not a send-off because David Bowie is the eternal Goblin King. And actually, the way that Matt uses goblins in the Cindy Jour series is actually one of my favorite things because he's subverting the preconceived perceptions that fantasy has about goblins. I know some writers do it. One of the books I'm reading for October, Kara, I already forgot how to spell her name. But White Stag, the young adult fantasy debut, has those like ridiculously beautiful goblins. But like Matt, I don't want to say Matt did it first because I am not up to date on the history of goblins in fantasy and whether or not pretty goblins were a thing before Matt, but celebrities, all of the celebrities are goblins. Oh my God. Oh my God. They're all goblins. And the CW celebrities are the lowest ranking goblins. Ah! It's one of my favorite things that, I mean, I just always love. Taste of Wrath introduces the Chrises. The Chrises, you know, Evans, Pratt, Hemsworth, Pine. But they've been other Chrises throughout history, and I just think it's brilliant. I don't know, I just really love this series. I'm realizing that Taste of Wrath was the last Cinderjour book. Was like heartbreaking because I want six seasons in a movie. You know, I want Tor.com to give him a revitalized campaign. I want more people to read this book. I want it to have this series. I want it to have a fandom. Why doesn't it have a fandom? It has everything that a lot of people claim they want from urban fantasy, from fiction as a whole, you know. You have badass female characters who aren't, you know, the, personally, I don't think they are the typical strong female character that, like, dudes like to write, where it's just like, I can smoke and drink at the same time. No. No. They're nuanced. They're cool. They're gorgeous. I'm gonna marry a fictional character. That was my reaction to, like, three different women across the series. You know, it's set across, like, just a wide area. You could have so many different little side stories. It could be an HBO series. Oh my gosh. I would even be satisfied with it being lightly changed-ish to, like, a leveragey librarians TNT type show. As long as it put more eyes on these books, because I need a fandom. I need Matt to get a fandom for this fantastic series. I need comic adaptations. I need cosplayers. You know, I need to not have Taste of Wrath be the last Cinderjour book. I desperately want more people to be into it because I want people to talk about how brilliant this series is, how much fun it is to read. You know, a lot of books in the genre, and they're good. I'm really not trying to talk shit about that many people in the genre, but I've read a lot of urban fantasy books, and most of them don't leave me feeling happy or hopeful at the end. You know, it's part of the genre. A lot of urban fantasy books tend to noir, detective, you know, hard-boiled private egg types, and obviously if you're writing a comedic series like Matt is, you know, you're not going to hit the same notes, but I want more people to see these notes. I want more people to be hit by these notes, and I really love I love this book, that Taste of Wrath is the book that it is. I love the ending. I love that this is how we get to remember these characters, that Lena and Nikki and Cindy and Jet and Little Dove and all of the best babies in the series, except for a few that, well, when you read it, you'll cry. You know, most of the Cinderjour crew live to cook another day. And I'm happy. And it's bittersweet setting down a series that you followed. I'm not setting it down forever. And I know that Matt, if given the chance, will return to the series. So make it happen, universe. Make it flipping happen. Because the Sin du Jour series is a masterpiece of fun, fucked up, entirely accessible, super cool urban fantasy. And if you're not reading it, if you haven't read it, go fucking read it. Please. All right. Thank you for listening to 20 minutes of me just rant and rave and just gush over Matt Wallace's incredible Sin du Jour series. It's one of the best, and I don't think you'll regret reading it if you pick it up. The first book's usually cheap if you buy Kindle, but you can buy the first three books in a bundle, Sin du Jour, the first course, I believe, for like $7 on Kindle. Just do it, man. Just do it. Okay. Bye.